Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Saturday AM Live. This is Vance Rogers, and we are going to jump right into today's call because, Rick, what happened? What happened in my brain? I do not know why it's been so incredibly long since we need to have people like you and Herb Rapp and Julie Tara, and the list goes on of just amazing people that pursue and live the five pillars of health like you do. We need to have you on like regularly every 4 to 6 months.
Happy to do it.
So I apologize for that because you don't need much of an introduction other than what most people probably don't know. Rick Murphy and I are brothers from a different mother.
Yeah.
What I mean by that is we have the same lineage up above us. As far as active people working the Nikan business, my sponsors and Rick's upline, you used to be a lot further away from them, are Denny and Char Rogers, and so Rick and I are basically cousins, and in this, or I don't know how you believe it. Anyways, we share the same upline, but Rick, a lot of people don't know your story, your history of how you got to where you're at today with Nikan, and most, I would say, probably have never heard what got your attention, knowing that 91% of people come into Nikan because of a product experience. So take us back there first, and then let's go for it and have some fun.
Awesome, and yeah, we do. We are brothers from another mother, but we do share the same father, too, Daddy, so that's a beautiful thing, isn't it? And unlike our Nikan family, I'm a little lighter on Christmas cards to the Rogers family. I'm extra nice to my kidney storage units, my family, I call them. I always joke with them and tell them, keep your friends close, but your kidneys don't as close to you, especially at Christmas. So every time I'm around my cousins, I just like to mess with people. I always tell them, thank you for keeping my spare kidney on ice if I ever get sick. And they look at me and they say, well, you've got mine too. So so I make sure everybody in the family is drinking pie water just in case, man. But nothing like, you call it 6% love in Nikan, Vance. We call it extra kidney love in the family.
So Rick, I just for the record, you're not part of Stacy and Vance's organization, but you're part of my inheritance.
That's right. So you want me on Pie Water and KVB too, don't you? Well, you know what? I'm training the new guy. We actually did a sleepover at the office. Mom wasn't feeling well last night, so Kyler and I slept in the office, and we set up his Paw Patrol tent and had a sleepover. And I want you to know we stayed up till about 11 watching Nobby, Netflix, and he's still asleep in the office. I had to creep out, so I'm actually sitting in the Jeep outside of the house so I don't wake him up. So I'm already training your inheritance replacement, my friend.
There you go. Thank you.
but yeah, honestly, Vance, I'll just kind of tell it briefly. But I when I was little, I kind of, the only thing I ever wanted to be was a soldier. It's kind of weird. Like, I don't even have a memory of wanting to be another thing. I was that kid that was always outside doing stuff. I had like 10 million Army men, Navarone, guns. I used to get BB guns in the house and shoot little Army guys. I mean, that's all I did. And I think part of the reason was my uncle was Marine of the Year on Guadalcanal in 1943. My grandfather's, my dad was a Vietnam vet, all the Vietnam vets. I grew up in VFW. And I used to go down there, and Mom wouldn't let me hang out with them too much because they were pretty rough customers. But when I'd be down there with my dad on Friday night, we'd do catfish fries. And I used to go down there and sit in the round booth with Dad and all of his friends, Steinman and Chicken and all the guys, and they would start telling me about the Lost Platoon, and they would tell me about being LRFs, and I would just be riveted to it. Little did I know that real war stuff wasn't like John Wayne stuff on TV, which is a whole other discussion, but I just idolized these guys. My dad marched in the front of the parade, and I just remember seeing Dad in his white shirt and his VFW hat marching down the center of the road. But I was going to go in as an officer. My dad always said, go in as an officer, don't be an enlisted man. Not that there's anything wrong with being enlisted, but the rest of my family all did that. And they said, if you're going to go, at least, you know, don't be a ground pounder. So anyways, I I was set to do that, and my we own the little Ben Franklin store, and I'm going to tell it as quick as possible because that's actually why I'm in Neekin. This part of the story has more to do with this than later, probably. We always owned our own business. We took care of our people. We had 18 people that all had health care benefits, and they were a different time. You had my dad, and I was a stock boy, and my grandpa, and before me, my dad was a stock boy, and he was the owner. In a little town of 3,000 people, we were like the center of the downtown. And Walmart moved in on the outside of town, and we went from having a little store with 18 or 20, we called them the girls, that's how different life was. They ran the checkouts and the material counter and the candy case. And a Walmart moved in, and my family pretty much lost everything. And I remember the stress of no money the last 4 or 5 years. I remember standing in the shower praying that we had enough. I remember my mom drinking juice out of a tiny little shot glass and us eating like hamburger and her eating a bowl of cereal, telling us she wasn't hungry and me not realizing. And I knew that I wasn't going to be able to go to college. And my parents actually, my dad got another job. We're living in my grandparents' basement the next year. And I said, I got to do something. So my 17th birthday, I went down and enlisted. And my mom had to sign the paperwork. And I still remember my mom and dad just crying. My dad, that's the last thing he wanted for me to be, was a ground pounder, especially after all the things that happened to him in Vietnam and all the things he saw. So there I was, 17 years old. I was a year young starting kindergarten, so I did that. And I didn't even shave. It took me 10 minutes. When you have 3 minutes to get ready in basic training, I had an advantage over the guys that were a year or two older. I didn't have to deal with that. And I went to basic training. I was still 17. I remember still being on the bus and watching it pull away and seeing my family in the big window at the bus station. And then my first reality of, okay, I'm living my dream of being in the Army, is just realizing I'm a 155-pound kid getting screamed at. And I remember holding the bag above my head, running in place, holding 6 pair of underwear as they yell, hold up, 6 pair OG green underwear. I remember thinking to myself, this isn't like Sands of Iwo Jima, John Wayne. What did I get myself into? Long story short, ended up a couple years later, and I'm skipping a lot, but I ended up being in special operations, and over in the Gulf War, I had a pretty bad mishap, which I'll spare you the details, but my leg was twisted around backwards, and I crushed a couple of vertebrae in my neck, and I have a crack in my sacral joint from a pretty good fall I took, and I stayed in theater because I didn't want to leave. It was my one chance to play war, which, you know, when you're young, that's what you do. And then later, I kind of got trapped beneath an Iraqi BMP burning. We were kind of pinned down, and the fire and the chemicals in it chemically burned the top of my lungs, and I got all kind of weird health stuff. And ended up having one more mishap and had my leg turned around backwards again, where this time I just couldn't walk. I still had plantar flexion, but it was so bad. I was black and blue up to the knee, and they medevaced me out of a refugee camp about 3 months after the Gulf War, and ended up sitting at Walter Reed, and they said, well, Sergeant Murphy, you're going to be above 30% lower extremity damage. You're not going to be able to be in an active special forces squad. And that's all I ever wanted to do. So I was 21 years old and just heartbroken. But I still remember when the doctors left, sitting there on the examining table, Walter Reed, the old Walter Reed, if anybody ever been there, not the new beautiful one. I remember I just broke down sobbing like a little kid and figure out what I'm going to do. So they said you can either retrain, and I didn't want to be with the clerks and jerks wearing a dress uniform pushing pencils around or something. So I got out, went back to Michigan, and I picked, that was miserable. I went to college because my mom said, go down there. A guy got me into college right away that was a Vietnam veteran in my same unit, and I picked being a software engineer because it showed that it paid the most money without having to get a master's degree. I hate computers. I can't stand sitting in cubicles, so I get it. 2 years later, after I did college in 29 months, college was, everybody talking about finals, it just used to make me laugh. I'm like, really? That's stress? I just remember the kids, oh my gosh, we have a test tomorrow. I'm like, it's not quite as stressful as laying in your sleeping bag thinking about doing an infill tomorrow with around chemical landmines. And I just remember, college was almost a joke. So I did it in 29 months. Got out, and then 3 years later, I was making over 100,000 a year as an engineer, SAP implementation. I was the director of quality assurance for a big company at a young age, but I hated it. So, Vance, what I did was I said, I can't do this anymore. Like, I was physically sick. I wasn't going to the gym anymore. I was going to, like, 4 in the morning or 10 at night. I barely went to church. I didn't play softball or basketball. I had no life, but I was, quote-unquote, successful. So I said, I'm going to do something else. So I walked into a political meeting, and it was they were talking about something. I stood up and gave a speech on freedom, and everybody clapped. And as I was walking out of the room, the director of a Senate campaign came up and handed me their card and said, you want to work for us? We need people that can speak. I said, well, what do you want me to do? They said, well, come on down and talk to us. I ended up being the West Michigan coordinator for a U.S. Senate race, and I was going to go be the communications director for the senator, and then I was going to run for a state rep seat in 2 years, and then I was going to run for House of Representatives in 4 years when the rep retired. That's how politics works. If you guys have ever been in it, they kind of arrange everything like that. And then I saw how dirty the fundraising was. I saw people that were supposedly Christians on stage weeping about the Lord and backstage cursing and saying they can't stand the conservative Christians. This is the Republican Party. The split you guys see in the party is absolutely true. You got the real patriots and you got the people that use it. And that's why nothing happens there. In fact, what's happening in Washington today, it's exactly what I saw 20 years ago. And I said, I got to get out of this. So, Vance, I didn't want to go back to engineering, so I looked into buying a Chick-fil-A, which was new at the time, and they said, well, you need $1 million cash to do that. That liquid on top of the loan. So I said, all right, I'll get a Burger King. I was all set to buy a Burger King, man. I had VA stuff, everything. And then someone brought Nikon to me, and I'll spare you the long story, but I thought it was the stupidest thing I'd ever heard in my life. I can't stand network marketing, and I'm going to be honest with you guys. I still don't like network marketing to this day. I love Nikon. I'm not a network marketer. I'm not a pills, potions, and lotions purveyor. Leaping around at motivational seminars. You don't see me going to these open trainings with 80 other companies so I can blend into the pack and pay some guy $800 a ticket so that he can recruit my team in 2 years. I'm not a part of this industry. I'm a part of Nikon. Okay? I'm not MLM number 260. I've always seen Nikon as a standalone. I would never be a part of something that's one of many choices. I'm a part of Nikon because it was unique. It's the Apple of the home business world. We have created the first home career, and I saw that then at my first meeting. But they bribed me to go to the meeting after 3 months by giving me tickets to a hockey game in Detroit, a Red Wings Blackhawks game, if I would go to the Cobo Arena and see a Nikon meeting. And I'll just tell you this super fast. My first thing that happened, I'm standing there getting coffee, and a guy with red curly hair walked up and said, good morning, young man. And I hated being called young man. And even though now that I'm 47, you can call me that any time. And I said, oh, I'm just here to check out this goat rope. I actually used the word goat rope, which is an Army term for something stupid. He said, well, what brought you here? I said, I got bribed with tickets. I'm doing this to shut some family up. And I would never be a part of one of these. I'm going to get the flyer and leave. And he said, well, I hope you get the flyer and have fun at the hockey game. 5 minutes later, I'm sitting there in the back drinking coffee. I sat as far in the back as I could. And they introduced Nikon Senior Vice President, Mr. Larry Prophet. That was the guy I just told I'm here to check out a goat rope as the first speaker. When I heard the meeting, Vance, there's two things that went into my mind. I'm not buying the Burger King. This is going to be an Apple. As soon as they get their act together and really get this launched, this thing will be transformational, which I believe that iTunes works now because we have internet and technology that didn't make it work in 1996. The difference between Apple then and Apple now is the technology makes the toys run that Steve Jobs invented and brought. Nikon's vision of what we wanted to do worked on the product side, and the business was successful. But now we have the tools in place to make iTunes happen with Nikon. We're going to change what is in the industry. I just dropped a Bill Clinton. What is? We're going to change the industry. But
What year was that when you sat there and you got the year? 1998. Okay.
Yeah.
And we experienced a curve back then with that existing system. And people that have heard you share what you just said, or even in my mind, because you use the term goat roper. I'm that guy who likes to play the devil's advocate, and I sit there and analytically break down and think, could it possibly be that true? And Michael DiMuccio, oh my goodness, what a brilliant mind. And he said, you know, if we're willing to follow leaders like Ben Woodward, who left the corporate desk of Niken and went out into the field to become one of us because he so believed in the system we have now, not the system we had back in 1998, but the system we have now, because it's so unique. And I loved your point earlier about how you really, I don't know if you use the word hated or despised, I use the word despised on a regular basis. This industry that we're a part of, that Niken has been lumped into, but we're not, because of the word customer-centric, because we connect people to the products without having to do the, pardon the slam, but the Herbalife method or the old Amway approach of, you know, we got to slick them in there. We got to somehow wax the skid so we can trick them into being a part of something that's not. Let's connect people to the product.
Well, you know what's interesting, Vance, is that the best thing I can tell you is without the technology we have now, without customers, without even the IT, network marketing was always limited because the paperwork, the faxing, the ugly side of interacting, infrastructure wasn't really in place to make it go to the next level, which is why the companies get to a couple billion and they go backwards. Plus, if you don't have customers, as soon as the recruiting blossom is off, you see these binaries take off and they fall apart. They're only one-dimensional. What's happened now, and this is a long talk, I just want to give this quick analogy. Before we broke the sound barrier, planes would get up and speed, and as soon as they started approaching the sound barrier, the wings would fall off. They just couldn't generate enough inertia. Or they were limited to how far they could go and how high they could go. So they would go up, wow, we're flying. And they would get to a point, and that was as high and as fast as they could go until somebody broke the sound barrier by redesigning the way the plane flew. Once they broke it once, they could do it as much as they wanted to, and they could then design the plane for supersonic speed. If you look at a plane today, it's got a very different build. Like the swept wing, for example, which reduces drag, that was not on a P-51 Mustang or a biplane. What Niken did was we swept the wing back, we changed the way the tail structured, we built the plane for post-supersonic speed. So when we talk about Niken's first wave, we're talking about flying up and getting 600 or 700 miles an hour, and then you hit that wall and the wings come off. What we've done now is we've built the plane that can fly subsonic or supersonic. And this is the only thing I'm going to say about it. I know we're going to pivot this way. What's going to happen at convention this fall is we're taking what Niken did, and they grew the company up, and they changed the model. A lot of you guys in this call that have been in for a while, or even if you're new, don't really appreciate, this is not year 44 of Niken. This is month 5 or 6. You have to look at Niken like pre-Ken and Niken, or Old Testament, New Testament, or, you know, we bought a beautiful property downtown, and we're not going to go in and just put drywall up in a 100-year-old house. We're going to rip the house down to the slab so we have a beautiful zoned property in a great location, but we're going to build a new house on top of it. You've got to think different to build the new Niken, not slightly the same. If you're still doing basically the same stuff you did last year, you've got to rethink what you're doing. And what we have found this year in the first 5 or 6 months is kind of a new business model. That's where our trifolds came from. We've been out belly to belly. We've driven almost 10,000 miles the last 2 months. We just did a Super Saturday where half the room is new people. There is a slightly different, more efficient way to build Niken. We're going to bring that to you in October, the completed science, to say this is how you build new Ken, not pre-Ken. And you really got to stop thinking year 15 for you, or year 18 for you, or year 20 for you. If you want to explode, in Niken, you got to start thinking new company, new launch, and I've got to update my business practices for supersonic flight. I got to get a pressure suit. I got to get a different helmet. I need oxygen in the cabin. You can't fly like you're in a biplane, guys, with Snoopy goggles on. And it really is, man. It's a new thing. It's a new company now.
Right. And one of the crucial things, even that the concept of going to an event like San Antonio or going to Salt Lake City or going to Orlando, these quarterly events that we have, throughout the year of going, and it's not about going to an event, because I grew up going to those as
right.
a kid, the hype and oh, buy this, you know, here's a manual that's worth $1,000 and you can get it for the low price today of $179.95.
Yeah.
You know, and I watch my parents and tell me, and I just sat there and scratched my head as a young kid and exposed to all this, going, there's got to be a different way. I really not only believe, but Stacey and I are living what you're saying today in that let's not follow the network marketing companies of the 70s, 80s, 90s. Even the ones that are saying, oh, we're a hybrid and we got this and we got that. But you look at their products and you're going, good Lord, I wouldn't feed that to my animal.
Right.
Our pet cat, I wouldn't give that to him. And you're saying, oh, yeah, yeah, but once you get on it, once you get all your team on it.
Yeah.
And I'm just going, do you guys hear what you're saying? Don't do that. You can't live the five pillars of health. You can't be balanced when you're promoting that or this or that. So I guess my final question, is my final question, not my final answer, but my final question. We've got a timeline, and, you know, I don't want to date this call because people will listen to this recording in a few weeks, couple months, whatever, and I think they'll get the gist of the message. It is a time-sensitive issue because of the price structure and because of what's going on in San Antonio in the fall. It's always it, because you don't want to go to San Antonio in the summer months. I was just there 2 weeks ago, and that's a little warm. I saw a couple birds using pot holders to pull the ants out of the ground because they were so almost liquid protein because they were boiling. That was a joke, folks. Anyways, it's warm down there. But October, it's nice, and which is, a lot of companies know that. But why is it imperative that we not only buy the block of five before that structure goes away, you know, the price break, but then also get our reservations in? Why is it imperative now to make that decision? I guess if there's
sure.
failure to plan, then we're planning to fail.
There is. Basically, a couple things. When we first announced the event, we were going to do more of a traditional convention with a lot of celebration and stuff, which we're still going to do a lot of that. But we also realized when I was sitting in a room with 33 prospects and two distributors, I realized something had happened, and we finally had broken through to NewKen, the methodology where we had the tools, the know-how, and I'm watching it change. And we said, okay, we got to get this to people. Plus, several other people had some pretty big ahas that, okay, the company changed. Now we have to update our standards and practices. And I started getting calls from people saying, can you show us how to do that? Can we cover this? What people wanted was some meat and potatoes. So the way the event's going to flow, and I'm going to tell you this super fast because I know time is short. We're going to start right in Thursday night with, after we connect your why to your business, with how to answer the question, what do? How to tell your short business, your product story, how to create conversations and meet people. Something as simple as, if you want to meet unlimited prospects, ask 3 to 5 questions or give 3 to 5 compliments, and then initiate your catchphrase or be able to tell your stories. We're going to have time when people actually, the group will actually interact with each other to develop these. We're going to have the Platinum Alliance walking the room along with the top diamonds, helping people develop these. We're going to go into how to do an ABC, exactly, and we're going to have one slide with 5 bullets to tell you how to do it. How to set up a wellness preview, how to run it, how to launch yourself or your area. Then we're going to go into product stuff, how to do all the top demos. We give a presentation, an ABC or a preview, then we do favorite 5. Instead of trying to talk about 900 products and getting lost, we do favorite 5. We're going to show you how to do the top demos. Gary Linder's putting together all the top selling products and fast 10-minute product segments. And I left out a lot. And then we're going to wrap it up in a send-off segment and corporate announcements. It's going to be an event like you've never been to, and it's going to be the kind of event that's direct brass tacks, bottom line to your business, but more importantly to your people's business. We moved it from the big theater, which was not conducive to this kind of an event, to right down the hall to one of the new ballrooms where we can see people. I can build the stage. I'm going to build the stage so those speakers can go out into the audience. It's a beautiful room. There's a big grotto attached to it. When we do breaks and go out and work in your catchphrase, we can spread out a little bit. The only problem is the thing is going to sell out now because with the tickets we've already sold, we're going to be out the door, and especially when you guys see the agenda published, there's going to be such a rush for what's happening to this. It's going to be huge. So here's the deal. You got 4 months, and you got to run up to this. There's none of you on this call that should have less than 3 to 5 of your people there on the outside in 4 to 5 months. If you're if they took you to court and charged you with building Neekend, they wouldn't be able to convict you if you can't give five people there for lack of evidence. I mean, that's how much of a going down. It's like putting a marble on a hill and wondering if it can roll. All you have to do is put the marble there. I mean, this business is like $100 bills blowing across the ground. Will you bend over and pick it up? That's the place we are with Neekend right now. And this workshop in the fall is going to blow you away because it's going to be tight. When we tell you how to do a catchphrase, the thing I'm telling the people, it's going to be one slide, not 10, not 40, not a 60-minute talk on how to do a 10-second thing, one slide, 5 minutes, to teach you how to do a thing. That's the biggest thing I observe. We teach, we give these long, giant conversations to do a 3-second thing. Why don't we just take 3 seconds to tell you how to do a 3-second thing?
So this is a novel concept there, Rick.
Yeah, it's going to be hands-on. And by the way, these were all written by being out with new people and watching how long we can hold their attention, the questions they're asking. And these are the things that new people want to know and that you need to be able to do too. Basic functions. Create conversation. Know your story / catchphrase. Be able to give an ABC, the basic product demos, and launch your business. You're going to be proficient at all those things. And we're going to give you all those key activities on one slide for each of them. That's how fast this is going to be. The tickets are online. Guys, the company that's doing a convention in there, when I was down there last week, there was an MLM in there. Their convention ticket was $379 a ticket.
Ouch.
That's about the average. But, Vance, you've been in the industry. That's about the average for a convention ticket.
Yep.
I'm doing a 5-block, Paige and I decided. We want to make this available to people. And Paige and I front all the money for this convention center. This isn't like a hotel where we pay day of and the space is free. We put down over $60,000 to open the doors, and we already put down half of it. The next half is due in 2 weeks. So we're doing, if you say, well, should I buy a 5-block, Paige and I bought a 1,000-block. I get it. And the reason I get it is because if we're going to be a serious company, we need a convention. We need to be first class. And this convention center, because of some of the veterans things I get, and I have a local San Antonio phone number, we get it for about 40% what anybody else could rent it. This is a gift we want to give to the whole Neekend, the content and the facility. A 5-block is only $399, and your tickets are free. If there's two in your distributorship, you're actually getting 7 tickets. That's $57 a ticket. Guys, you can't go see Ishtar 2 at the cinemas for $50. and that's the truth. We took the kids to see Cars last weekend, and we took Tyler and another kid. We spent $100 between popcorn, drinks, and movie tickets. I mean, we're giving these away. Individual tickets, $99, which is still a great deal. Obviously, it's about a third what they should cost. What Paige and I really did was a 5-block with 2 free tickets for you and your spouse or your partner or whatever is really the price of what 1 to 1.5 tickets would cost if this was actually ticketed like a convention. So we're asking for you guys' help to put this business on your backs along with Paige and I so that our company takes off. This is like lifting. Yesterday I lifted a bag of concrete over our backyard fence because it was old and it turned into a brick. Had to throw it away. And the thing was about 100 pounds. Now I can lift quite a bit. So I lifted that bag of concrete up, and I got it pretty easy, but I didn't have a good grip on it up to about my waist. And then I had to change my grip and muscle it up over the fence. And let me tell you, that was a dead weight, 2 by 200 pounds. For an old man, that was heavy. The hardest part was lifting it over the top of the fence, but once it got to the top, gravity took it, and it pulled it down into the dumpster. Where we are right now with Neekend is we've reached up to our waist. We need to muscle Neekend up, and there's no other way to do it than meeting people, contact, training, sponsoring. It's not sitting on phone calls. It's not talking to consultants about how osteoporosis affects amoebas in the Yucatan. It's you talking to new people out building this business. And I think people want to do that. I think we need to empower people with those basic skills so they feel confident, which will build confidence, and then getting out and getting it done. We need to muscle Neekend over this fence right now and drop it in the dumpster. what's happening right now is by your connecting people into this event, we build momentum. The event will be like a prism where you funnel people towards it, and it's going to come out like a rainbow of light. That's how I view this event, what we're going to do. And it's not me behind this. It's Vance, it's Dennis and Ruth, it's Dave, it's Denny and Char. It's Bernadette McBurney, Mike, Ben, Brody Craney, Susan Carver, Julie Kara, super excited, Gary Linder, the Platinum Alliance. This will be our finest showing in a beautiful venue, and it's going to sell out. If you would help me do it sooner, it would help, because then the PR says, man, Going Pro is sold out. It would create more buzz around it. But if you try to get a ticket in September, you're going to be sitting outside the door. So here's the question I want to ask you. You believe in NECAN. Do you believe in it enough to step up and get behind and start pushing? Or do you believe in it because it makes you feel warm and fuzzy like a NyQuil going down your throat? Or is it something that you actually say, I not only believe, I'm not only willing to talk about freedom, I'm willing to grab a rifle and talk about it when I'm still cold sitting in a trench? Big difference in the two. Big difference in sitting in a coffee shop talking about how the war ought to be fought and being the guy out there with trench foot sleeping in the trench. That's the difference between bravery and bravado. So you guys are NECAN's best in this NECAN family. My question to you is, how many do you have going to San Antonio because it's your event? Is it just you? Do you have five? Are you happy with five people 4 months out? Paige and I have to buy tickets through our corporation. We don't get them free. I've got 10. I already got five of them filled, and my goal is to have another five blocks full because I'm not going to sit in there and do a big training to people that aren't in my group. I want to pack it. So I guess I'm asking you guys this. We are launching the world's first home career, not the next network marketing. We have products that change lives. We have a great company that deserves our best. We have a company that's trying to do something right at a time when companies are trying to cut corners to drive up their stock price. NECAN does things right in a world where that's harder and harder to find. The institutions we believe in, you can't even believe in them anymore. Different news channels tell you different stuff about the company we love, the country we love. Wouldn't you like to have something that you can count on? NECAN's something to believe in. But the problem with something to believe in, it needs good people to stand up for it. And standing up in NECAN means out connecting new people, laying it on the line, getting a five block that maybe you haven't filled. I'll just leave you this analogy. There's two farmers talking about God, how much faith they have. So I was standing there, and one of them was standing there looking at the dirt and said, you know what, as soon as God sends rain, I'm going to go buy some seed and plant a crop. The other farmer says, I've got seed, I'm putting them in the ground because I know God will send rain. Which one actually has faith?
And that's the thing that those words, and I don't know who penned them, Rick, that it's, you know, failure to plan is planning to fail. And if we don't make the decision now and think, well, yeah, I need to do that, it's like that magazine article that Jack Zufeld in his book, The DNA of Success.
Right.
He's in the doctor's office, and the article laying in, you know, Glamour, Better Homes and Gardens, the title article is Procrastination, and somebody had written with a Sharpie right on the cover, read later.
Well, you know what somebody said to me yesterday? They said, well, I had a five block last year. I didn't fill it. I don't know if I want to get one. I said, so let me get this straight. You sunk last year, and you got a bad result. This year, what you're telling me is you're going to guarantee that result by having nobody there again, but you're going to spare yourself the disappointment by not even trying.
Yep, yep.
And I got to be honest with you guys, the winners do what it takes, do what's required to win to fill their vision. People that lose play to lose. I want to play to win. My question is, well, what if you get one and you only get three or you only get two? Well, Rat said the tickets are still costing what they should cost anyway. My question to you is, what if you have one and they're full and your life changes?
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference. So,
and I think, Rick, the big thing for Stacy and I is that regardless of where our finances, because every single one of us, we've got all these amazing excuses. I have them our list is just as long as everybody else's, okay? Whether it be a physical issue or what, it doesn't matter. We've all got our excuses that we can play on. But exactly what you said, winners make those decisions. I think of Herb Rapp, who made the decision in December that he wanted to be part of Team Kaizen,
yep.
And he went out and broke nine seniors. Now he's got nine executives. because Grace wanted to go to Cancun, his wife.
And hey, I'll tell you something, yeah. We make a pretty good living, but putting down $50,000 or $60,000 before a ticket's sold, I get it. I get it, you guys. That's why Paige and I work. We're going to do our own setup this year in the facility. We had to get this facility on top of the theater. We already had contracted it. This is out of the budget, not instead of the budget. This event does not cost less.
Yeah.
So Paige and I, so we can get the room, are going to do all the setup ourselves on Thursday. It's going to take us about 6 hours. That's how we afforded this room. I understand you guys putting your back into something, and we're doing it to say we're not telling you to do as we do or say.
Yeah.
We're right there with you as Diamonds and Royal Diamonds that we're doing. We're asking you to do what we do. And I'm not telling you guys that I have to do anything other than I'm not some guy trying to sell you tickets to something. From some high and mighty lofty position, I'm saying to you, come and do something with us to take advantage of this ace. We're putting an ace in your hands. Play it. It'll change your life. That's what I got. I thought we went a little bit long. I get wound up.
Just a little bit. And I'm looking at the Nikan website. All the information is there. It's front and center. It's in the scrolling images that come across the screen. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. Just log into your Nikan account, and it's right stinking there, okay? Mine just froze, but it was there a few seconds ago. But I think the most crucial thing is make the decision, and things will fall into place just as fast or faster than you want them to. And I think the biggest thing for where we're at is making the decision of who do I want to be there with. I mean, that was the frustrating thing for Stacy and I, being in Cancun, Mexico, with an amazing group of Team Kaizen winners in the winter, when it was still cold for a lot of people, was who do we want to be here with us when we go to Japan? Because we are going to Japan. And who do we want to be on that plane with us? And so I solicited a few people, and I said, Vance, we're going with. And we're doing the work right now to make that happen. But it's the fourth little scrolling image.
Right.
Come fly with us, Nikan International Field Convention, October 19th. You just click right there. There is a deadline that's coming upon us, and you can save yourself buku bucks. Pull the trigger, and then make a few phone calls and say, hey, I just pulled the trigger. You're going to join me or not? Let's figure out the details, whether we do a road trip if you're in driving distance, which is 12 hours or less. We drive to Salt Lake every year.
Right.
I love it. I absolutely love that kind of road trip, hanging out with people. Well, I get to hang out with my sponsors, you know, my parents, and that's a crazy couple right there, to say the least. Oh, my goodness.
I really appreciate you having me on, too. It's an honor, and we've been friends for a long time, and Paige and I love you guys, and we really appreciate being here, my friend.
Well, Rick, we will do our best to get some butts in the seats, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again and spending more time with you, though, in October than I got to just a couple weeks ago. At Dennis's celebration. And just again, folks, I know this sounds like an elongated commercial. Just go on the website, make a decision. Just one way or the other. Make a decision, pull the trigger, and when you walk with that kind of tenacity and that kind of determination, it's almost as if God opens up the heavens and says, well, man, this is a... I love that Joel Osteen says it best. God will always back your act.
Yep.
And when we step out there in faith and say, you know, I want to be there. And so, anyway, Rick, thank you so much. I asked for 25, 30 minutes. You gave me about 40. I really, really appreciate that. And I know this will be beneficial, not just for the people on the line right now, but those who listen to the recording later. And then down the road, because this is a timeless message that if we really understand the value of what Nikan has given us as business builders, not as customers, but as those who have made the decision to enroll and say, we want to make a better way. We want that. We know there's a better opportunity out there for these pillars, for people to live the five pillars. And you and Paige are perfect examples of that. And I really, really appreciate that. So thank you,
buddy. I appreciate you. We're going to tear it up, man. We're going to bring a level of game you've never seen in Nikan. I'm ready, Vance. How about you?
Okay, I am there. All right.
All right,
Rick.
Catch you later.
Thanks so much, Rick.
Yes, sir.
Rick
Bye.
Murphy has been our guest. And if you have somebody on your team, or maybe you've got a customer that you're thinking, or they've expressed, you know, maybe I could do this as a consultant like you're doing. SaturdayAMLive.com is the recording website. Okay, again, SaturdayAMLive.com is where all these recordings get posted. So send them there. Just grab the link and send it right to him via email and say, you got to listen to this. And I think anybody who is a true patriot, and I don't mean that in the political sense, but in the sense of that loves this country, loves what it stands for, loves the freedom that we get to enjoy, I think what Rick shared will reverberate with them. And so I'm looking forward to seeing you there in San Antonio. So thank you much. I got to do a couple technical things, and I'll be right back. So can't wait to have you join us again on Saturday AM Live.